Hey guys, welcome to the number 247 ever episode of It's Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. In today's episode, we are going to be breaking down what I think of Kyle Kuzma and Kristaps Porzingis contract extensions, and if I think the Wizards should sign them, what the alternatives would be. And that's kind of going to be the theme of this episode. What is the alternative? That's kind of what we're going to be looking at, and I'll explain later. Hope you guys do enjoy this episode. If you do, subscribe, follow, share, view. Let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Porter gets Bradley for three.
Oh, he's over. Troy Brown Jr. finding Beal. Beal puts it up and in. And the Wizards take the lead.
So before we do officially get into this episode, I would just like to let you know why we haven't posted in a while. I have been figuring out a lot of sports for kids technical difficulties. We have figured those things out. Expect uploads coming out weekly like we usually do have. Just been working on other things as well. And yeah, I mean, there hasn't really been much to talk about since, there really hasn't been much to talk about yet throughout this entire situation. So I thought maybe it would be a good time to give this to you guys now. Because then we're going to be talking about the draft lottery. And that is going to be a big thing. Because the Wizards have a 6.7% chance of landing at the number one overall pick. And a chance of getting who people are calling the next LeBron James and Victor Wembanyama. So we'll break that down in next episode. But for now, we'll just break down this episode, which will be about Kyle Kuzma, Kristaps Porzingis, and partially Bradley Beal. Because everything that has to do with the Wizards, in reality, settles around Bradley Beal and his five-year, $251 million contract and his 50 games a season. So, let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this. So, for those who do not know, which if you are a Wizards fan, I doubt that you don't know this, but Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Kuzma are each eligible for extensions this offseason. Kuzma has a $13 million player option that I would be shocked to see him accept. He's essentially already told the public from some of the tweets he had to Spencer Dinwiddie and all that, that he will be declining that $13 million player option and looking to be getting a payday. And that payday could be from anyone, but the Wizards kind of got sort of some rights here, right? They have some sort of rights to him, but the extension would be 4 years, $180 million, right? For Porzingis, very similar concept. He has a more questionable player option, though, if that makes sense, that he may actually consider accepting, as it would be for $36 million. And if he declined, well, it would still be a four-year, $180 million deal. He would only make $27 million in the first year. That would be most likely what happens. So, the way the salary cap works out for the Wizards. So, those are kind of what's going on with both of those guys. And there's a possibility that both of them, or neither of them, get extended this offseason. Both of them have until June 21st to opt into their player options, or opt out and seek a long-term deal. If Porzingis, it could be up to $188 million, but it will most likely be $180 million. Now, if the Wizards were to pull this off and would sign Porzingis and Kuzma to big long-term contracts, then the Wizards would officially have the most expensive big three in the NBA. We have Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker in the league. We have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and D'Angelo Russell in the league. We have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green in the league, and Andrew Wiggins, and Jordan Poole, for that matter, whoever you want to put at that third spot when it comes to money. The Wizards would have the most expensive top three in the league, and this is a team that isn't competing for a championship, that didn't just win the championship. This is a team that finished as the 12th seed and has hardly had any team chemistry because the players have not been playing together. I mean, the Wizards have the chance to have the most expensive big three. Can I tell you why this is a problem? Well, the new NBA, CBA, basically says, I don't know the exact rules, and I'm still learning more about the CBA. Basically, if you're one of the highest salary cap teams in the league, you can't get a really top pick. So the Wizards could have everyone, they have their entire team decimated of injury. But since they have such a high salary cap, they'll be rewarded a bottom pick. So if the Wizards were to pull this off, then essentially, again, they'd have the most expensive big three in the league and basically have no salary cap whatsoever for the next, let's say, 5 years, basically until that Beal contract really kicks off. And then after the Kuzma and Porzingis deals kick off. So yeah, we're looking 4 or 5 years here. And not to mention, they're getting rid of the mid-level exception and buyout market. And the Wizards are a team that has really used, not as much a mid-level exception, but has been really using the buyout over these past few years. Not for, like, big players, whether it's been, like, Jordan Bell. I mean, like, they made a lot of moves around that time in the past. I know Jordan Bell's not, like, a great example, but, like, they made a lot of moves around the buyout market in the past. Like, last year, Greg Monroe, as an example. The Wizards are a team that really utilizes the buyout market, and if they sign them, they're not going to be able to use the buyout market because they're going to have one of the most expensive teams in the league. So you're going to lose out on the buyout market. You're going to lose out on the mid-level exception, which was going to be a really big thing for the Wizards if you're going to have a really expensive team. And you're going to have your team, all your superstars probably playing about 40 games a season and finishes the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference. So essentially, the Wizards would be a mediocre franchise for at least the next 4 years, which doesn't seem like a lot when you consider that it has been probably about 40 years thus far that they've been really mediocre. But when you think about 4 years, guys, Russell Westbrook, it's only been 2 seasons ago since Russell Westbrook was on the team. And that feels like a long time ago. Like, it's going to be a long 4 years if this goes down. And you're probably thinking, all right, Jace, why don't they just trade, if this is going to happen, why don't they trade Kuzma, trade Porzingis, and trade Beal? It's not that easy. First of all, let's work with Bradley Beal. Let's start off with the main guy, the guy who's being paid the second most money in NBA history. What team would want him right now? Just consider that. Who would want a player that has shown significant signs of inefficiency and lack of scoring as he's gotten older into his career? A player that has been significantly terrible and gets significantly worse year by year in a clutch? A guy who is being paid the second most money in the NBA when he has never led his team to a second round appearance as a number one player. This, ladies and gentlemen, he's won one playoff game as a number one player. He's being paid the second most money in the NBA. What player, and he plays 40 games a season, what team, would want to get their hands on this guy right now? What team? I love Beal. I love the guy. I mean, I literally am sitting right next to a Bradley Beal side picture. I'm staring at it right now. I love Brad. But the contract that he has gotten is into, and then the fact that he continues to regress at over 30 years old at this point, and then not to mention be injured and not play a ton of the games, it's really ruining the team. And the Wizards, frankly, can't afford to just trade Beal if somehow they're able to get a deal, and then have Porzingis and Kuzma. Because one, there's no number one there. That goes back to the same point, and they actually get worse. And as bad as Bradley Beal is in the clutch, the Wizards actually were only 13-14 with Beal in clutch time last year, compared to when they were 2-11 without him. That's a 32.7 difference in win percentage. So again, they're mediocre with him, but they're terrible without him. And that's the problem. That's why they had to pay him so much money, because he's so valuable. But at that point, they should have just rebuilt, not trade for Porzingis, not trade for Kuzma, and just be done with it. The biggest question to me is Kuzma. Porzingis, I could see being worth the money because it would free up cap space for this year. Maybe we're able to sign a guy, or he just accepts it and no problem. Kuzma's definitely going to decline. He has an ego in a sense where he wants his money and he wants it badly. This is a guy who's averaged 20 points a game. But again, Porzingis, I'm fine deserving his money. Kuzma's concerning because this is a guy, again, averaged 20 points a game, but shot extremely inefficiently. In fact, when you look at the Washington Wizards, well, he ranked 59th in field goal percentage on jump shots among 61 players with 500 plus attempts. He almost had the worst efficiency for any player, worst efficiency on jump shots for any player in basketball this season with 500 plus attempts. Almost the worst in the NBA. So he's getting those 20 points, but he's not doing it efficiently. And this is a concern we had throughout the entire season. He did it on a career high 17.8 shots a game. And I know this isn't really important because he will definitely not be signed this offseason with what the Wizards have to deal with. But Deni Avdija could sign an extension this offseason. And if he's playing the way he is, especially on the rebounding side, 97th percentile this past season in defensive rebounding per cleaning the glass. I mean, they're going to have to sign him. So if you sign Porzingis to a $180 million deal, and then you sign Kuzma to a $180 deal, there's nobody left for Deni Avdija. So what do you do? At this point, I would rather take the defensive potential of Deni Avdija than sign Kyle Kuzma. Here's the problem. You're probably thinking, Chase, there's no problem, just let him go. Here's the problem. With the way the salary cap works, the Wizards are allowed to go way over the cap because it's their own players. But when they're not your own players, it can't go over the cap. So if the Wizards let Kuzma go, they'll have nobody to replace him. They physically could not replace him. So the only option is to sign him or get a sign-and-trade. So I'm going to go over some trades personally that I think could be some somewhat realistic sign-and-trade deals. Right? So you got to think of teams that would be willing to sign Kuzma to a long-term deal of 4 years, $180 million, because that's a lot of money. A team will do it because of the potential and the scoring, but that's a lot of money for one of the most more expensive teams in the league. So you got to think of younger teams. I'm looking here at the Utah Jazz, where in this exchange, the Wizards receive Rudy Gay, Kelly Olynyk, two really good rotational wings slash big guys, and a 2025 top 8 protected first round pick. The Jazz get Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Shackle. You may think this is not a great offer from a great package the Wizards are getting. I actually think it's great. Utah's going to be great in 2025. So, I mean, that pick is at least going to be reasonable, right? You're getting two really good rotational players, and you can build out more depth and be able to play guys like Daniel Gafford, develop Deni Avdija, develop Corey Kispert, develop Johnny Davis. I actually don't think this is a terrible deal by the Wizards, even though I do think you could get better. And that deal is by working with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who they're in a dry spot right now. They need to make a change with their organization after what happened this year, after all the potential went right down the toilet. So they make a shocking move. The Wizards give up their point guard that they've only had for one season in Monte Morris and Kuzma on that newly signed deal. Minnesota, on the other hand, dishes Mike Conley to the Wizards, that new point guard. Jaden McDaniels, one of the best wing defenders in the NBA this past year, and a 2024 lottery protected first round pick, again, for Kuzma and Monte Morris. This is a good deal. You get a guy like Mike Conley, who, in my opinion, would fit really well next to Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis on this Wizards squad. You get Jaden McDaniels as a wing to play really good defense, and you could have McDaniels and Avdija right next to each other in the front court, which I think would be one of the best defensive front courts in the NBA in a few years. So you could get that, and then you still get a first-round pick, even if it's not a high one. I actually don't think this is a bad deal, and I could see Minnesota doing this since they're desperate, and they could possibly use some more offense, and they could use a change of point guard. They need a guy who could not make a lot of mistakes, and I think Morris can bring that. I can see this trade happening. I think this makes the T-Wolves better, and I think it makes the Wizards better as well. But the trade that I would try to do would be with the Sacramento Kings. And this deal would have to go down soon because of the NBA draft. The Wizards would give away Kyle Kuzma on the sign-and-trade, 4 years, $180 million. But the Wizards, on the other hand, get Harrison Barnes on a 4-year, $39.7 million extension, meaning he makes just under $10 million a year, which I think is very fair to a guy like Harrison Barnes, who's now in his 30s, but has been a really productive role player, 3-and-D guy. So I think that's a fair contract. And the Wizards get a 2023 first-round pick, which will be in the mid-20s or so, because Sacramento was really good this past regular season. Who says no to this deal? the Kings get more offense. They're going to get a much better player long-term that's younger. And they kind of get rid of having to sign Harrison Barnes to a long deal when they could possibly be paying him $10, $15 million when he's out of the rotation. Well, a guy like Kuzma should almost definitely be in the rotation unless serious injuries happen in 4 years. I can see the Kings doing this deal. They give up the first-round pick. They don't need more young guys. They got Davion Mitchell. They got Malik Monk. They have young scorers. They don't need to try to get another young scorer in the draft, like a Jordan Hawkins at that area in the draft. They don't need to get that. They can give it away. The Wizards, on the other hand, can get someone young. They get Barnes to replace him, and they could try to make a more well-rounded team, what I've been trying to have the Wizards do now for a long time. So those are the three possible deals that I think could go down for Kyle Kuzma. I think the Kings one would be the best, the Timberwolves would be the second best, and the Jazz will be the third best, even though I would not complain about that Timberwolves trade getting Jaden McDaniels. That part is weird because I don't know if the Timberwolves would give up Jaden McDaniels, but I think that could make things really, really, really interesting in DC and for Minnesota, frankly. So this offseason is going to be crazy for the Wizards because they got to figure out, you got to sign Kuzma. And here's the title of the episode, and I haven't said it yet. What's the alternative? If you don't sign Porzingis or you don't sign Kuzma, you don't have the money to replace them. There's no alternative. Because when you sign a guy who is a number two. I'll give Beal the number two love, even though I don't know if he is. I'll say number two. When you're paying a number two in the NBA, the second most money in the NBA, you probably understand how this is going to go. Get it now? When you're paying Bradley Beal this much money, you cannot afford to pay guys like Kuzma and Porzingis big paydays like Phoenix did with DeAndre Ayton. Because while they're paying Devin Booker, we're seeing how Devin Booker is playing in this year's playoffs. He can win Phoenix a championship. Bradley Beal cannot win the Wizards a championship. So we're looking at a 12th seed who may have the most expensive victory in the league that can't stay healthy and will be in complete mediocrity for four seasons. And there's basically no way to get out of it. And if they do sign them, it's going to be very hard for them to get rid of them on those big contracts. And additionally, I told you, with the new CBA rules, it's going to be very hard for them to get a top draft pick. Guys, I don't know what to do. As a Wizards fan, as someone who runs a Wizards podcast, I'm a little concerned for my basketball team right now. Not a little. I am concerned because they could be stuck in mediocrity for 4 years and there's nothing they could do about it. What I would personally do is do a sided trade with Kyle Kuzma. It frees up the cap. You could get a guy like Harrison Barnes. Right? You can get a guy like Jaden McDaniels. You can try to get younger and save some salary cap and worry about extending those guys later. Free yourself up now so that maybe Beal gets better or maybe the team gets better and then you can build around him or those other guys get better. They have more trade value and the Wizards can rebuild. But I think keeping Kuzma, keeping Porzingis would put the Wizards in a hole that they would not be able to get out of. That's what I would do if I'm the Wizards. Porzingis accepts his $36 million player option. If he doesn't, that's fine. Sign him. He's deserving of it. He had career highs in efficiency from the field from three and a career high in points. He's a great player. I'm fine signing Porzingis. I said that like 10 minutes ago. I'm not okay signing Kuzma because that guy's really inefficient, and I don't think he's as good as the money would be saying. And the Wizards have a track record of paying guys a lot of money when they're not deserving of it. So this is going to be a very interesting offseason for the Washington Wizards, and I'm very curious to see how the new general manager, we still do not know who this new general manager will be and who's going to be making these decisions and calling the shots here in DC. We don't know who that guy's going to be, but all I know is they're going to have to figure it out fast because it's going to be a very busy offseason in the nation's capital. Hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, view. Expect episodes coming up with the lottery, then an immediate lottery reaction, and then assuming the Wizards don't get the number one overall pick, we'll go through all the guys and all the trade possibilities, everything that the Wizards could do with the pick that they have. Hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, view. Tell me your thoughts in the comments below. Check out Sports for Kids, Cool Sports Newsletter, ChasingSportsNews.com, Cool Sports Network. You know the drill. Hope you guys did enjoy. Subscribe, follow, share, view. And I want to let you guys know, we currently have 6,800 views. I would like to get to 8,800 views. That's 8,000 views by the end of June. If we can make that happen, I would greatly appreciate it. That should be our goal. I'm going to start posting over here more. Appreciate your guys' patience with the Sports for Kids thing and everything. And yeah, again, tell me your thoughts. I hope you guys did enjoy. Subscribe, follow, share, view. And of course, as always, I will see you guys next time. Peace.